Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 332, recorded on May 26th, 2017. Enjoy. All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This show is sponsored by HelloFresh, the leading meal kit delivery service. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the code TIOSS30 when you subscribe. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I am awesome. I hope you are, too.
I'm good. Yeah, long weekend.
Excellent.
I'm excited for a long weekend.
Yeah, long weekend.
And Adam Christensen's also here from the MacCast, and I'm going to be going to your pool, right, Adam?
Hey, it's all heated up.
Oh, yeah?
Ready to go.
I never understood the it's 90 degrees outside, let's heat the pool to 85. I don't understand why people heat the pool.
Well, I have solar, so it's the sun that's heating the pool, and I have solar cover, so...
But, like, why make it warm? You want it cold. You want to jump in there and freak your body.
Yeah, you know, you would think the same thing, but here's the deal, is I think about 80 is right. 85 is probably a bit warm. My family likes it warmer. You can get into pool temperature things, but I can tell you, below 80, it's pretty brisk.
Yeah, that's what I want. Maybe I should just jump into the ocean. I have a giant pool.
Maybe do that.
Always at least, always hovering around 60 degrees. I should do that. Yeah.
I don't think you want it much cold. I mean, between 78 and 80 seems to be the right place. But okay. Getting cooler than that is, you don't want to be in there too long.
Fair. So the first thing to talk about, Apple released an update. It's a minor update, iOS 10.3.2, with bug fixes and security updates. Anything major?
Nah.
No?
No, I haven't found anything major in it.
Okay. They did update the AirPods firmware.
Which who knows what they did there either.
Yeah, that's even more of a mystery than 10.3.2.
Like, they don't even tell you there's an update. You just hope that you got it.
Yeah, and I did. For what?
Seriously? You don't get, like, a dialogue saying, hey, your AirPod firmware's updated?
No. I wouldn't know if Mac Rumors did.
It just magically happens. What you have to do is you have to get your AirPods near your iPhone, go into Settings, General, About... and then open the AirPods so it does its little magic connect thing, and then there'll be a little AirPods menu that shows up in the About, and then you need to make you just check the firmware number, which is like the 2.73 or something like that. What's the number?
I thought it was like 3 something.
3.7.2.
Well, that's really intuitive.
It's cool.
I don't know. Check it. I can let you know here in a second.
Yeah. So. That's good, I guess. But according to Boy Genius Report, that's what BGR stands for. I don't know if they even call themselves Boy Genius Report anymore.
No, it's BGR. No, it's just BGR.
Well, I'm going to say Boy Genius Report because he used to be 12 or something.
Because you're retro.
Yeah.
I looked that up. Yeah, it's 3.7.2 is the firmware on the AirPods. But it's funny that you brought that up, Michael, because I did the same thing. I was doing a story... probably the same story we're about to do on the MacCast. And I was like, I always call it Boy Genius Report. And then I went to the website and everything is just BGR. They're all grown up now.
Aww.
The Big Boy Genius Report.
So did they have BGR. A phase where they were like the Tween Genius Report?
They definitely did. Yeah. So they say that Apple is planning to very soon... include a glucose monitoring ability in the Apple Watch. It's not clear whether it will be in the core watch, the actual, you know, without the bands, or if it's going to be an add-on through a band. But I believe the two things...
Smart band.
The two things that they are sure of is Apple is very interested in getting... a non-invasive glucose monitoring system in the Apple Watch soon, and that mm-hmm. they're also pursuing smart bands. So it seems like they want to possibly keep those things separate so that they don't have to get FDA approval on the core Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That the Apple Watch itself, they can keep it on whatever release cycle they want, and they can work on this smart band independently of that, get it through FDA approval, which is really important for this because they want people to be using it in a more serious way as opposed to just, hey, how many steps did I take today, or how much sugar's in my blood today sort of thing. I mean, they're targeting this at people that have diabetes and need to be monitoring their blood glucose level all the time.
Well, so I think it's one of those
FDA approval.
It's definitely one of those things that I'm excited about. I think a lot of people, most people, can benefit from understanding what their blood sugar is doing throughout the day. You don't want it to, you know, vary drastically. You want it to be pretty consistent. And if you can actively monitor how your body is responding to the foods that you're eating, I feel like that is probably going to be one of the biggest improvements in this whole health monitoring tech wave that we're going through.
Now you sound like Tim Cook.
I agree with Tim Cook. Tim Cook is totally on board with this. He's got some kind of contraption going on. I think his is probably subdermal, right?
No, well, I think no one knows. He's mentioned a couple times that he's been wearing a continuous glucose monitor. He said when he was over in, was it Germany?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He mentioned that he had been monitoring his, but he didn't say how. And there have been reports that he's been wearing a device. Some of them are saying it is something connected to the Apple Watch, whether it's a smart band or an actual Apple product is really unclear.
Probably some kind of Bluetooth thingamajig.
Well, and there's a couple third-party ones that like stick to your skin, you know, like you put it under your clothes, like a little Bluetooth device.
I think even those require being under your skin. There's some kind of some little implant in there, and then the thing that you stick on your skin is like a receiver.
Let me pull up my notes because I can get you the name of the company and the name of the product that is out there.
Yeah, I know there's the subdermal products. Then there's the puncture style products where it pricks your fingertip.
Yep.
And neither of those.
Interesting. Because right now, no one has a reliable and accurate non-invasive blood glucose testing system or monitoring system.
Well, I mean, if we can figure out what the composition of, you know, faraway stars is, I feel like we should be able to figure this out.
Well, so far no one has. Well, maybe Apple has.
Maybe Apple has. You know, I mean, Tim Cook likes the idea, so I'm sure he's got his smart boys working on that.
And they've got a lot of money to throw at this.
Well, they certainly have a lot of money, and they've been hiring, according to BGR, they've hired more than 200 PhDs in the health food or in the health field to tackle.
They've been hiring experts on this specific thing for years.
Right. In addition to the blood glucose, BGR says that Apple Watch bands may add a camera. Another possibility that Apple may be looking into, or battery band. I'm curious to know, like, let's say Apple drops one of these glucose bands in the fall. Is it going to be, so, you know, the Series 0 and the Series 1 both have the same diagnostic port, the same little door over the thing. Mm-hmm. So my question is that going to be backwards compatible with the current watch? Because as I've heard in, you know, kind of hush hush, the diagnostic tool that Apple stores have for basically just flashing Apple watches, it's a little thing that slips into the band slot. You move over some kind of lever which pulls the little trap door off. And then suddenly the contacts are exposed, and then you can do your flashing. There's got to be some kind of neat mechanism that Apple has. It seems like they do. So I wonder if these bands would do that. I doubt they're going to. I don't know. Is there going to be some kind of tool that comes with this? It's going to pop the little door off? It doesn't seem very Apple-y to me.
I think they would just open it up in a future design.
Possibly.
I'm guessing it's going to be a not backwards compatible kind of thing.
That sounds like a bummer, but I'll probably buy another one. People are confused when I tell them. They're like, oh, you have an Apple Watch too? And I'm like, yeah, it's actually my second one. They're like, what happened with the other one? And I just said, well, it's slow. And they're like, what are you talking about? And then I have to explain to them that I'm crazy.
Yep. And then they're like, oh.
Yeah, so it's fine.
And you're right, the monitor that allegedly he was using was the Dexcom one, which is a subdermal.
Yeah. So what else? Ooh, Samsung's Galaxy S8. So it's got the iris recognition. It's got the facial recognition. We found out that the facial recognition is not like super good for security because you can just show it a picture of the person, and it's right. Like, yeah, that's fine. That's them. Now some hackers have spoofed it by basically taking a little cheapy digital camera that can do night vision, taking an infrared photo of the person's face from not too far away. Like, this is not a close up or anything. They just kind of casually took a picture and then printed it out on a laser printer, like nothing crazy. And then they just put regular old contact lenses over the eyeball. A contact lens over an eye that has been printed out, and then the phone's like, yeah, that's them.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything. Like, if you have access to contact lenses and a printer and a camera, then you can do this.
So, yeah, you don't even need access to the printer. Go, just take the photo to your local FedEx Kinko's,
sure,
and print it out there.
The foiling technique you would see in any Hollywood spy film.
Yeah, the only thing that a Hollywood spy film would have added in is super glue somewhere.
It's like the heist movies where you're like, no, that would never work.
That's yeah, so it really. Dumb. Yeah, you're right. It's totally.
And turns out it actually does work.
That's exactly something that like George Clooney would do in Ocean's 15.
Right. Exactly. Right. They'd have the guy trailing the suspect. They'd shoot him with this long range, you know, camera
yep.
from a distance and yeah. print out this thing.
And absolutely. Like, and you'd be like, that'll never work. That wouldn't work in real life.
That wouldn't work in real life.
Turns out it does. Now, my question. So Apple is definitely exploring this. We're not sure if it seems like there's a strong possibility of iris scanning coming into the iPhone 8. We're not sure if it's going to be a secondary authentication method. But I'm guessing they're going to apply.
There's no way it's going to be primary.
I'm guessing they're going to apply some sort of the same security measures they do with Touch ID, which is after, 24 hours, it doesn't work. If your phone reboots, it doesn't work. And every week you need to retype your password.
Yeah, I don't think Apple is going for iris recognition. I think they're sticking with Touch ID. I think the cameras that they're putting in with the infrared sensing and all that, it's so they can do other 3D related imagery.
Yeah.
Right now, I just don't see the security level there that you need for reliable iris scanning.
Security or improvement in user experience. It's not like it's any easier. It kind of looks like a bit of a pain.
Is there other applications where it would make sense to do an iris scan? I mean, I can't think of any off the top of my head. You know, no. Unlike things like 3D facial recognition, which has like applications, even if you're not using it for security, you could use it in things like games and stuff like that to do kind of creative interfaces.
The other thing you could do, I just thought of this, you could use it as a sort of a system to tell if you've drunk too much and shouldn't drive.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Because you could have it check nystagmus, which is the, when your eye bounces, when it gets to the farthest point, when you're looking off to the side. I know, I totally dumbed down what that is, but
pupil dilation, they could use the flash, toggle the flash to like, well, I guess the flash is on the wrong side, but they added a flash to the.
Yeah, they could use the display, make it flash bright white.
Yep. You could do some creative stuff like that.
To be fair, Touch ID has been spoofed. But as far as I know, the way that you do that is definitely more difficult than this.
Yeah. Spoofing the S8's iris recognition is trivial. Spoofing Touch ID took a lot more effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we have quite a bit more to talk about, but first we should mention our wonderful sponsor, which is HelloFresh. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking more fun so you can focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time. They source the freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities needed so there's no food waste. They employ 2 full-time registered dietitians on staff who review each recipe to ensure they're nutritionally balanced. All of this is delivered right to your doorstep in a recyclable, insulated box for free, and all of the ingredients are separated by recipe in a fancy little box in order to make life simple. They're now offering light spring meals and have just introduced breakfast options, which is super cool. And best of all, each recipe costs less than $10 a meal. One of the boxes that I got included Jamie Oliver's aloo gobi, honey glazed pork, and mozzarella crusted chicken. All of them were great, but that honey glazed pork was especially wonderful. And it was really cool seeing how I actually made that food, and I really enjoyed that. I love the packaging. Everything is organized, and the recipes are in a neat, well-designed booklet, which is great because I love how much the recipes taught me about cooking, and I'll be using them again in the future. They include nearly everything you need to cook the food. Of course, they taste great, and there is way more than enough to keep me satisfied, and best of all, I didn't have to worry about finding the ingredients or making sure I had a recipe that would work. It was all taken care of and delivered right to my door. So for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the code TIOSS when you subscribe. All right, so with that, Apple is rumored to be discontinuing the iPad mini. And that is according to, again, the Boy Genius Report.
BGR.
You know, the weird thing about this report is that it feels like it's old news. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I've been saying Apple's discontinuing the iPad mini ever since they did their last iPad refresh when they completely killed off the 2 and dumped all the models of the mini except for the 128 gig version. And it costs more than the new 9.7-inch iPad.
And to be fair, I think they're not saying that they're discontinuing it, just simply that they're not going to update it. And it'll eventually just sort of wither and die on its own.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just going to slowly fade away.
And I suppose
And eventually you walk into an Apple store and say, I'd like to look at a mini, and the employees will be like, huh, where'd that go?
Yeah, just kind of vaporized.
Yeah.
I imagine if there's some kind of crazy resurgence of demand for it, they might consider bringing it back. But I'm guessing this is totally demand driven.
There is demand. I mean, I brought this up on my show and I got a lot of response from people saying, I love the Mini. It's the one I want. And a lot of the use case scenarios were one, iPad for your kids. Two was people who were heavy into like the applications they do are reading. So email, ebooks, and like surfing the web and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then the number one group of people that I heard from were people who travel a lot, mostly leisure travel. And they're like, this is just awesome. But even like people who are like extreme travelers that do, you know, like around the world trips and like are just traveling a lot. They're like, this is ideal for being on the plane, for being out in remote areas, you know, for a lot of different reasons. So I think there's a market for it. It's just really small. And so I think Apple will just continue to keep the current model as long as people will keep buying it just at the, you know, the one size offering. Just they're not going to update it. So.
Yeah, I think you're right. Which kind of makes me sad. I think the iPad Mini is a really great little device.
It is.
Yep. I'll be sad to see it fade away.
Yeah. Speaking of iPads, Ming-Chi Kuo believes that we're going to be seeing, he says, what, 90% chance? Or greater than 70% chance that we're going to see the unveiling of the new 10.5-inch iPad Pro at WWDC.
All right. What I find interesting about that is that we have so little in the way of leaked photos. You'd think by now we'd have a lot of stuff. I mean, look at what we're getting with the iPhone 8, which isn't coming out till later this year.
Yeah.
So I just an observation. I'm not saying that because we're not seeing lots of photos, it's not going to happen. Just interesting that we're this close to when it's likely to happen, and we have almost nothing in the way of photographs.
The more interesting thing to me is how much hardware we're supposedly going to be seeing, you know, a week from Monday at WWDC.
Is it? That's
every year. By the time we get to this point, the reports are Apple is going to update every product it has made, will make, and is currently making all at the same time.
Here's the difference, though. In past years, I've never believed it. But because we've had zero new products this year, I kind of believe it this time around.
Yeah, I have a
sense. Maybe I'm just an idiot.
No, I mean, I might be an idiot with you, but I mean, there's also the reports of new MacBook Pro, MacBook Air, and MacBook, right?
And the Siri home speaker.
Siri home speaker. Ming-Chi says 50% chance of seeing that sweet, sweet Siri cylinder.
I think if Apple does do any sort of computer update or refresh at WWDC, it will be, or WWDC for those in the know, it'll be the MacBook Pro, and it will be going from what's the processor? Skylake.
The new Intel processor.
To the Kaby Lake processor.
To the Kaby.
Yeah, and see, that makes sense if they're going to do it, even though it would be a pretty fast turnaround for a laptop upgrade. But the MacBook Pro is what developers use most. That would be the venue to give us a new MacBook Pro.
Plus, I think it would happen maybe even silently. I mean, they may not even announce it on stage. It might just be like an update that comes out as a press release and is issued on Apple's website.
Right,
you know? Sure.
Because it's just a processor.
But I'm kind of thinking they may mention the Pro update and then just kind of let the other two be press releases. So yeah, lots of
The Siri home speaker would be a huge announcement there.
Yeah,
and the Siri home speaker, if they do that would be announced at the event. And I think if they do it, it's going to be like when they did the Apple TV update, where they said it's coming later this year, but developers can order at a discount the early model so that right. you can start working with it and getting your apps ready.
Yeah.
Yep. And hopefully some expanded Siri APIs and new Siri features and stuff like that would be highlighted.
Yes. Yeah, if not, then there's not that much of a reason to give developers early access to this thing.
Yeah.
So, what else do we have here?
Plus, it slows down people buying competitive products. I mean, they could even announce it and say it's going to be out in the fall and then show it off at the next, you know, at the fall event.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Product. I would expect that. That seems reasonable. We've also seen a couple cases for the 10.5 inch and 12.9 inch iPad Pros. And there's by the same leaker who leaked this. It was
Geskin.
Geskin, yeah. He also leaked a CAD model of these. So it looks like we're going to get a flash on these engine, iPads. Yeah. There's going to be four speakers, microphone in the back, all kinds of good stuff, and a headphone jack. So it looks good.
Yeah, so the only device not without a headphone jack still will be the iPhone.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I'm finding that interesting. What? Why, if they got rid of the headphone jack on the iPhone when the new iPad came out, why is there still a headphone jack?
Because there's enough room in the iPad.
That's been what people. That's been the theory. That's the popular theory.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of.
I mean,
just because there's room.
I'm not complaining about my iPhone. My iPhone treats me so right.
Ironically, yeah.
I don't know. Like the battery life has been killer. It's 452 and I'm at what I mean, I don't really know. I can get a percentage here if I look at it. Batteries.
I wonder I'm at 80% of the iPad.
80% on my iPhone, it's 450. And I've been using it all day. So good stuff.
Some of keeping it on the iPad is the fact that maybe iPads are used more frequently for like watching movies and stuff. But I would imagine people also watch on their iPhone. I prefer my iPad.
I prefer my screen. iPad. Maybe they are looking at the iPad to a degree with the same eye that they look at the Mac, because like when the new MacBook Pro came out, it had a headphone jack,
right?
And the reasoning was because Apple's customers still really need it there.
True.
So, I guess that's pretty much everything. That's everything. Unless you want to talk about this. Do you guys know about the Apple Neural Engine chip?
I saw that. Yeah, like this afternoon from today. Yeah.
Yeah. So the short version on that is that Apple has a team working on this chip, and it's going to be a dedicated AI processing chip for handling local, meaning on-device, artificial intelligence features. And the idea is that the AI features that are being handled on-device right now use a combination of the CPU and GPU. So if Apple takes what those functions are and puts them on a chip, they can offload that from the CPU and GPU. They can potentially increase security for whatever data they're working with. They can reduce power consumption and improve performance.
Sounds awesome to me.
Yeah.
Sounds like the right thing to do. So basically offloading the Apple brain onto its own dedicated hardware.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they call it the Apple brain.
They do?
Yeah, you didn't hear that? Yeah, so all the cumulative AI technologies that are being utilized on device in your device right now. Apple calls it the Apple Brain.
Sweet.
So it'd be the Apple Brain chip.
I like that. I want a brain chip on my phone.
Yeah.
Okay. So wait, let's do picks. Jeff.
Oh no.
What do you got?
My pick this week is the Wemo Mini Smart Plug. So, you know, Wemo, they've had their bigger smart plug thing out for, what, a few years now? And the mini version is not really all that new. It's new-ish, but it takes up so much less space. You can actually put two onto an outlet, whereas with the older one, it's so big that it just covers your whole outlet. So the reason this is my pick is because I have a window fan that I needed to turn into a smart fan, and no one makes a smart fan for a window, period, which is so stupid. But so I got this switch. It fits where I need it to fit, which is it's a pretty tight space where the outlet is. And when Belkin releases their HomeKit bridge later this year, this will be compatible with that. So I can control it through my voice through Alexa today, and I'll be able to control it through Siri later this year. And it's like $35 on Amazon.
Nice. Cool. So, Adam, what's your pick?
Yes, I was scrambling and I forgot that I have the perfect pick.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So, you guys know I'm a fan of Carrot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Carrot apps?
Mm-hmm.
They came out with their first game.
Oh man, you just totally trumped my my smart switch that's going to be HomeKit compatible in the
fall. It's awesome. It's called Artificial Super Intelligence. And it is a swipe left, swipe right game. And what you are is you are a coder and you get transported into different alternate universes. And you're attempting to code, basically create Carrot, the perfect artificial super intelligence. And so you're presented with questions from different, basically, factions or groups. So you have your employees, you have the government, you have the media and the public, so like bloggers and people like that. And then you have your investors. And so you're trying to make decisions to keep all of those things in balance so that you can progress further and further toward building the perfect artificial super intelligence.
And all right. Some of your tweets over the past several days are making sense now.
And it is fun. So it's kind of like another pick like that was like, this was the game Reigns, where you're trying to be like a, you know, a king. So it's very similar in gameplay to that, but it's got all of the great Carrot attitude, and there's some additional mini games and you try to earn different levels. And then the way they switch it up is every time you reincarnate on a different world in a new alternate universe. And so there becomes different rules and parameters based on the kind of universe you're in terms of how you're going to have to answer questions and make decisions and do those sorts of things. Plus you have a cat. So, you know, that's good too.
Plus that's good too. I love the mixture of higher resolution graphics or artwork and 8-bit looking artwork.
Yeah, the whole it's a lot of fun, and it's a nice casual game. You know, you can bring it out and just play through like one world. Probably takes maybe a couple minutes, and then you can move on, or you can, you know, continue and continue and continue. But it's awesome, and it's no in-app purchase, none of that gunky stuff. I want to say it was $2.99 maybe. It was on sale.
$3.99.
Okay, so it's gone up to 3.9. It was on release, I think, last week. I don't think we did a show last week, so it may have gone up to 3.99. But it's so worth it. It's Carrot. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Artificial superintelligence.
Awesome. Okay. I was going to try to get out of this without a pick. Do I have a pick? I don't.
DJI Spark.
Oh yeah, that is my pick. I haven't played with one, but that's my pick. That thing looks so cool.
One.
So it's a little guy. It's a little drone. $500. What do we got on the specs on this bad boy? Is it like a kilometer range?
Yeah, it's really meant 18 minutes. Kind of almost be more like a selfie bot, though, right?
18 minutes flight time.
You can have it take off from the palm of your hand. You can have it land on the palm of your hand. You can move the whole thing around with just gestures, like hand gestures.
Yes. So yeah, you get the hand gestures. You launch it. So it's got little sensors in the bottom. So you just hold it out in the palm of your hand, and then it just launches from your hand. And then because it has the sensors on the bottom, it'll come back to your hand.
It has built-in modes that you can kick it off in. So different, you know, you can do a spiral pattern, you can do circle patterns. So for doing filming and different shots and things like that.
Yeah.
Sure, it has like a follow-on kind of thing.
This is really cool.
Yeah.
So good.
Although you probably want like $699 version that has like all the accessories and the controller. And
doesn't the base model come with the controller?
No. You have iPhone control and you have gesture control. But if you want an actual proper controller, you gotta kick up.
It looks so good.
But I've been seeing some of the demo videos and things that people have been putting out, and it just looks impressive. And it's tiny.
It is really
tiny. And that's the thing.
It's like the size of
a bag and take it with you.
The body of it is about the size of an iPhone 5.
Yeah, it looks like a miniature Mavic. And the Mavic is awesome too. So
this is really cool.
You know, and it's got all the collision and avoidance and
And you can do first-person video flight if you want. You can get the
goggles. You can swap out the batteries quickly.
Yep. Of course you can. It's got a sweet gimbal. Yeah. Ugh. I really want to get a Mavic. Okay, so this is my pick. It's the DJI Spark. It's $500, and it works with your iPhone. It's a legit iPhone. I mean, it pretty much the $500 version. You control it with your iPhone, so.
Yep.
You know, I've never really been all that into wanting a drone.
Because you haven't.
Until right now. I really want one of these.
What makes you want it now?
It's the fact that it becomes more interactive than just a drone you're flying around. Because you can use it. It has the camera built in, so you can use it for just, you know, you're at a party. Now you can shoot the party real quickly, and it has all the recognition stuff built into it, so you can make it do stuff very easily. It's not going to crash, which is a big thing for me. And just being able to have something that you can use to record whatever you want without having to spend a crazy amount of time learning how to not crash an expensive drone. Yeah, this thing looks really awesome.
Check out, I think Apple Insider posted some videos of the guy doing the gesture thing, and they called it Jedi mode. The plus.
I need that.
Come on, it has Jedi mode.
I need Jedi mode.
We need to get one.
Yeah, literally, you put the palm of your hand up and you just like push it back. Like if it's getting too close, you're like, you know, move back.
Yeah, and I love the thing. Oh, it's time for the photo. So you do the little freeze frame thing or whatever with your fingers.
Yeah, little frame with your fingers.
And then it knows to take a photo. This is so cool.
I so want one.
Sweet. Okay. So that's my pick. You can find all of our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes. Give it some stars. You can send your feedback about the show to feedback@theiosshow.com, or you can tweet at me. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. Our sponsor this week is HelloFresh, HelloFresh.com. Use the code TIOSS30 for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Adam.
Hey, fun as always.
And Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, MacObserver.com, and the TMO Daily Observations podcast. He's at Jay Gamet on Twitter. Thank you for being here, Jeff.
It's awesome. Every single week. I love it. And you guys rock.
Thank you. Yeah. And like I said, at Michael Johnston on Twitter, that's me. And with that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet. And an internet. 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 Internet.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?